But I'm really excited for tonight. I'm not normally excited to preach. I still do get very nervous. And you might not think so, but it is pretty frightening to hear from God and then to try and explain what you are hearing from God and to get it right and to not speak heresy. So I do take it seriously. But I'm so excited for tonight because I know God wants to set people free. And that is exciting because God has come to set people free. And last week was an amazing message that Sean gave. And so for those of you who weren't there or here, I'll give a five-second recap. And Sean preached on the woman that washed Jesus' feet with expensive oil and with her tears, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And the religious people around her, him were the Pharisees, and they were rejecting her, and he accepted her. And it was just so powerful. There were a lot of points, and I don't want to preach what Sean preached, but one thing that really struck me was that Jesus was completely accepting of the outcast, was completely there and gave all his attention to those people that had been rejected by society. And for me, that is so powerful because there is no shame in Jesus. And the thing with shame is, and I felt God's speak to me quite clearly last week, is that shame holds us in captivity. So Jesus sets us free, but we stay in shame. And it's almost like we put this coat of shame upon us, and we are never able to truly be free, although we have been forgiven. And I believe tonight that God wants to set people free from that shame and replace it with something else. Because you see, the Holy Spirit, He gives fruit. And so the first scripture I want to read is in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And the beautiful thing about the scripture, I've done quite a bit of research into this scripture, is that a lot of theologians agree that the word love, if you can keep it up there, the word love is actually the heading. So in other words, if you can, in your mind, go love, dot, dot. This is what love is. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the author goes and explains what love is. But I think the order in which these are is really important, because joy and peace are a gift from God. And I'm going to go through scripture and show that to you, that joy and peace we cannot manufacture on our own. The true joy, the true peace that only can be found in Jesus. And the other things, you know, you can see in the world, but you don't find joy and peace. And out of the joy and peace, the rest will flow. So the joy and peace are kind of like your heavy hitters in terms of the fruit. If you don't have the joy and peace, you probably won't have the rest of the fruit, if that makes sense. And so I'm going to show you that through scripture. And in Romans 15, 13, this is the NIV. It just reads a lot easier. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So joy and peace is something that we are filled with. It's not something we conjure up. It's not something that we fall into. we actually get filled. It's an action by the Holy Spirit that we get filled with joy and peace. And as a testimony of this in my own life, and I love to share my own life because it's a bit real, and it's the way I process things. And so when I was in the army, and I won't go into that, the type of army I was in and the type of things I had to experience and the things I saw, the things we did, as an 18-year-old, wasn't good. And I walked into the army as a Christian, walked out as not one. And because my joy and peace had been stolen, and it had been robbed from me. And I remember even once I'd moved to Cape Town, which was probably 4 years after the army, I still remember having anxiety, still having like almost like panic attacks, and I'd wake up in the night and I'd be stressed. And as I began to refined my faith, and as I began to put my hope in Jesus Christ, those things just, they melted away, and it just, I've never struggled with it ever again. And I believe that was God healed me in that time, because it was supernatural. And I believe that God replaced my anxiety and my stress and my anxiousness with joy and peace. And you see, joy and peace are the anchors of your soul. It's like a ship that's in a storm, and you've got two anchors going down at the front of the ship, and no matter the wind, it keeps that boat facing the wind, and it keeps it in position. So no matter what the storm is, that joy and peace are there holding. And if those ropes snap, like in my case, those ropes snapped when I was in the army, and suddenly I was shipwrecked. Suddenly my faith was on the beach, and I was completely unaffected or ineffective for God. And so I had to reposition that joy and peace. I had to re-anchor once I'd found my faith again. And I believe that that's what God wants to do tonight with some people here. Because you see, the world looks for joy and peace, but they call it happiness. And you see, happiness is very temporary. Happiness is something that you're happy one a moment, you're not happy the next. So you chase a career because of the finances. You chase a relationship but they make me happy. But so you're permanently searching for joy and peace. But in our Western way of thinking, in the world, the way we've been conditioned in our thinking, actually we're after happiness. But happiness won't last. And joy is a feeling, but it's a rooted one. It's not one that is here today and gone tomorrow. And this is why we have joy. This scripture here. And Peter explains it really, really well. This is again in the NIV. And it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Through now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that you, that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So your salvation, the hope that you have in eternity, the hope that you have in Christ, far outweighs. It is like the size of the sun compared to the size of this microphone. It far outweighs the trials that we may be going through now. And if you keep that perspective, if we have hope in Christ, if we have hope in Christ who has saved us, then joy and peace are an obvious fruit. Because nothing that comes in our way, nothing that we are faced with will be bigger than that. So therefore, we don't get stressed about it. We don't get anxious about it. We don't let it shipwreck our faith. Because you see, we are birthed into a living hope, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Because we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible. I can't explain it to you. It's a gift. I'm trying to, but it's a gift. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. In other words, this is the fruit of your faith. That inexpressible joy is because of our faith. The salvation of your souls. Man, that's something to be excited about. Because, yeah, everything we see, if we can put those glasses on when we're facing a trial, say our boss has been horrible to us, you put those glasses on, suddenly it becomes irrelevant. It's small change. You understand? Sure, we deal with them, but man, how much more excited are you to pray for him? You know, or if someone, and I know we always use this example, and we used it again on Wednesday night. If someone cuts you up in traffic, all right, this rage just pops out, and it's irrelevant. Who cares? Wave and smile. In fact, when we were coming from Com on Wednesday night, I picked up Heather, and we came out of a traffic circle, or I turned left at a traffic circle, and a moped, was quite far away. I mean, he wasn't near the circle, so I had right of way. I mean, he wasn't in the circle. And so I turned left. Well, I tell you what, he came and rode like right here at my door trying to tell me to stop. So I stopped. I couldn't hear what he was saying. And he started having a go at me. I'm like, you know what? Well, whatever, dude. I'm not going to now get all upset just because of you. You know, it washed off. Phew, I'm glad I passed that test. Because we had just been speaking about it. But yeah, you understand. There's a bigger deal in life. It's called Christ. It's called salvation. It's called the hope. And so, can you see that in Galatians 5, verse 22, if you have love, joy, peace, then patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those things are to fight or to have the fruit in. Patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. When the motorbike was trying to swear at me. In John 16, verse 9, so this is Jesus speaking, and he says, Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I mean by saying, a little while you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she can no longer remember the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, I will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So this is Jesus saying, he's talking about his death and resurrection. But he's saying, with my resurrection, the sorrow you felt is nothing compared. It's small change again. And so even Jesus was explaining that your joy may be full. But we need to ask. We need to ask that our joy is full. And I believe that there's some people here that have been given this gift of joy and peace. You've asked for it, but you've never opened the present. You've never opened the gift. And there is a saying that we used to use. It's like they're baptized in lemon juice. They're sour. And it's like, where's your joy? Anyway, that was a joke, by the way, in case you were wondering. And Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Jesus knew what this joy was, because, man, there's a beautiful scripture in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus used that joy. He used it to endure the cross. And that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to endure whatever trials that are in front of us, or that we may have faced, are facing, will face. That we use that joy for our strength, because that will give us the victory. And that is what gave him the victory. Last scripture for joy, and then I'm moving on to peace. You make, Psalm 16, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. And that's what I'm praying tonight, that every single one of us would have the fullness of joy. Overflowing. Full. That there's nothing that is keeping us from being tossed and turned. That whatever we're facing, I really feel like God is saying he wants to put those anchors down to stable the ship. That your fullness will be in full. Because you see, with joy comes perfect peace. Have you ever tried to make someone who is happy, like really they're dancing. You can see they are happy. That's the perfect time to give them bad news. Why? Because you can't get cross. All right? So, you know, that's what I'm sure my children would have done. Okay, is Dad in a good mood? Now's the time to tell him I crashed the car. Okay? It hasn't happened. No, it has happened. They crashed the car, but they didn't have to wait. But you know what I mean? You're kind of waiting for the guy to be in a good mood because you know he's not going to be as cross. All right? And so it's true. So with joy comes peace. John 14, verse 20, 26, it says, but the helper, the Holy, this is Jesus who's speaking, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you that peace through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4, verse 4. And I'm almost done. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known by everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Philippians 4 verse 4 summarizes just everything I've already now said. Rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we're going to do now when we start to sing again. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. You know, I'll be honest with you. For many years, I used to come to church and the singing was just something I had to get through. I'll be very honest. It was like campfire songs in my heart. It was. And I was excited for the word. And I thought, what they're going to preach about and whatever. And God has completely changed my mind. Now I come to church. I am so excited to praise God that I'm going, why do we even need to have a preach? I mean, God is here. Why do we need to listen to that oak? If God is speaking to me, shush, me. But you understand, in other words, it's such a precious time that we can come together and worship the King of Kings. It is so special because you know what? When we meet with Him, He changes us. When we meet with Him and when we truly worship Him in song and in worship and in praise, He changes us. You cannot be the same. And I want to continue to encourage you to come with an expectation of worship in your heart so that when you come, you're not bound by your chair. If you stand there, it's fine. We don't all have to come to the front. I know it's just a thing that we do, but we're trying to break free from the confines of the restriction. But I tell you what, come with an expectation of meeting with God. And I tell you what, your life will be transformed. And my life has been transformed since I made that decision to praise Him with all my heart. And that's why I'm so excited for tonight, because we're going to praise Him and God will set people free. Because you see, He wants to give us peace that surpasses all understanding. We won't understand it. And will guard your hearts, your minds in Jesus Christ. That the guarding is those anchors that are keeping you on the rock of salvation, on the rock of Christ. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, one more scripture, and then we're going to come up and praise Him. We're going to praise Him. And I want you to think now about what causes your anxiety and stress in your life. Think about it. What causes your anxiety and stress? And then I want you to weigh it up between the good news, between your salvation, something that is going to last for eternity. Is what's causing your anxiety and stress going to last for eternity? No, it can't. But God is a much bigger God than the things that are stressing you out. Because you see, God wants to replace that anxiety and stress with joy, peace, that makes no sense to the world. You see, you don't need the latest iPhone or the latest car to be happy. What you're seeking is God's peace and joy. So while the worship team come up, it's in Isaiah 55, verse 12. It says this, and this is what we're going to be doing now. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all of the trees will clap their hands. That's what we're going to do. We're going to worship Him, because you know why? God is worthy to be worshipped. It's such a privilege. So Murray he shared down while we were praying, and he was saying, you know, how God just convicted him that it's such a privilege to praise and worship. You know, we should never get into the routine of it. It should never be old. It should never be, I've done this before, here goes a campfire song. We should every single time come into God's presence with an expectation of meeting with our King. And God will give you the peace and the joy. If you do want someone to pray with you, find someone. Find anyone around you. Go to them and say, can you just pray with me about my anxiety or my stress or a situation that you might have? And say, God, I give it back to you. I give it all to you, because nothing compares to you. So let us praise Him. Let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I really do believe that God is going to reset some anchors.